Welcome to the Pit Cop Podcast.
Hello, everyone.
Today, we're doing a deep dive that really cuts through all that initial excitement when you're starting a business. We're getting right down to the foundations.
Right. We're tackling the launch of a successful business blog.
Exactly. But we're focusing on the stuff that really matters for the long run, the planning, the commitment. For you, the learner, this is your roadmap. We're covering 7 essential steps.
And we should be clear, these insights are coming directly from Pitcott's own core materials. We've drawn from excerpts called Foundations of a Successful Business Blog.
The idea here is to give you clarity,
yeah.
You know, to help you avoid that feeling of information overload.
So when you do launch, you're launching with a real strategy, not just a burst of enthusiasm that fades.
We're looking for the blueprint for longevity here.
Yeah.
Before we jump in, though, just a quick request from us.
Mm.
If you haven't already, please subscribe to our channel. And, you know, activate that notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
And it's also worth remembering that the information in this deep dive comes from the analysis in the best-selling ebooks on the Pitcott ebook store.
That's a great point.
So for anyone who wants to download those full resources, get the whole picture, just visit www.pitcott.com/books. That's where strategy really turns into execution.
Okay, let's unpack this. The first 2 points that Pitcott raises, they're almost like a gatekeeper test, right?
They really are. They determine if you should even go down this road.
And we're starting with the most fundamental, maybe even slightly painful question. Is a blog even necessary for your business?
That is absolutely the crucial first step. I mean, we see it all the time. So many businesses start a blog because it just feels like something you're supposed to do.
A box to check.
Exactly. But the material really stresses this. Don't start one just because everyone else has one. You have to pass the commitment test first.
So what does that commitment actually look like? It's more than just, you know, writing a post here and there, I assume.
Oh, much more. It's the commitment of your time, your consistency, your resources. You're committing to the writing, sure, but also the editing, the promotion, the internal linking.
And just keeping it alive week after week.
That's the key. The discipline to keep it alive for the long haul. And Pitcott doesn't sugarcoat it. If you can only get, say, 3 posts out in 3 months and then nothing for a year,
you're better off not starting at all.
That's the advice.
Why is that silence so bad, though? I mean, if the content's still online, isn't it still doing some good for you?
Not really. And this is a direct warning from the material. A dead blog does more harm than good.
Wow. Okay.
Think about it. A potential customer lands on your blog. They see the last post was from, what, 18 months ago? It just screams neglect.
Right. It erodes trust. You start to think, if they can't even update their blog, how well are they maintaining their actual product?
Precisely. It creates this digital ghost town. Plus, Google tends to penalize sites that aren't consistently refreshed, so that old content just slowly gathers digital dust anyway.
That reframes it completely. It goes from a nice little marketing asset to a potential liability. So if we fail that test, what are the alternatives Pitcott suggests?
If that commitment to long-form content just isn't there, you've got to put those resources somewhere you can be consistent.
Sure.
The source suggests maybe leaning into a really dynamic social media strategy or a high-quality, consistent newsletter, or even just focusing all your energy on your main website's SEO.
So the takeaway is pick a channel you can actually sustain.
One you can do reliably and professionally, yes.
Okay, perfect. So let's say we pass the commitment test. We're all in. That brings us to step 2, which is all about defining who we're actually talking to, your target audience.
Right, and we need to move past those vague demographics here. The advice is to literally picture your perfect reader.
Not just small business owners.
No, not at all. If you sell B2B software, are you talking to the CTO who's analyzing technical specs or the junior manager who's just overworked and looking for a quick solution?
Or if you're in fitness, is it the person grabbing coffee at 6 a.m. before their workout or the college grad trying to start a side hustle? That level of detail.
Exactly that level. Because knowing that dictates your entire style. Your busy executive doesn't want a 4,000-word deep dive. They want quick tips.
Maybe even an audio format.
Or a short video. Whereas, you know, a technical professional, they want those long guides with all the data and the citations.
So the audience really determines the format, the length, the voice, everything.
Yeah.
You have to know how they consume information. Do they, as the source says, binge YouTube? Or are they scrolling LinkedIn?
That consumption habit is everything. If they're visual, your blog post might just be a transcript with a ton of graphics and an embedded video.
Yeah.
If they're deep researchers, you need structured headings, downloadable PDFs, all of it.
And when you nail that connection,
Your blog just naturally becomes their go-to spot. It speaks their language and their preferred format. It's not generic anymore.
Okay, so we know we're committed and we know who we're talking to. The next logical step, the one that stops content from just wandering off, is defining success. Step 3. What are your blogging goals?
This is where you have to think strategically before you even start typing. The Pitcot materials are really clear on this. Your content needs a purpose.
Otherwise, you're just driving without a destination.
Exactly. It might be a nice ride, but you're not going to end up anywhere profitable.
Different blogs are chasing different things, right? What are the main goals we should be thinking about?
Well, you might be aiming purely for brand awareness, just getting your name out there. Or it could be super focused on lead generation, where every single post is designed to get a sign up.
And then there's the long game, building authority and trust, becoming the go-to expert.
Right. Or even chasing engagement, building a real community, a tribe, where you're focused on comments and shares and interaction.
Writing those goals down seems so critical for the learner.
It is. If your goal is authority, your content has to be rigorous and well-researched. If it's leads, every post needs a clear call to action. That written goal just keeps you from losing focus.
And that leads us right into step 4. How much time can you actually dedicate? Because a goal without resources is just a wish. I love the Pitcot analogy here that blogs are hungry beasts.
They are. They need constant feeding. And the time isn't just the writing. It's the research, the editing, the graphics, the scheduling, the promotion.
It's relentless.
It is. And if you promise a weekly post and then you just ghost your readers for 2 months, you lose all the trust you just worked to build. Inconsistency is a credibility killer.
So that raises a big question, especially for someone with limited resources.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better to be consistent or frequent? Like, will Google still reward you if you only post monthly?
The insight here is definitive. It's consistency over frequency every time.
Right.
Absolutely. Posting once a month reliably is so much better than posting weekly for a bit and then stopping. It's the rhythm that matters. Your readers learn when to expect something new from you.
So start small, build momentum you can actually maintain. But what if time is still the biggest hurdle?
The framework acknowledges that. If it looks tough, consider outsourcing the other tasks, you know, the editing, the graphic design, maybe even some research.
To free you up for the actual writing.
Where your voice is irreplaceable. It keeps the beast fed without you having to starve your own schedule.
That's such practical advice. And speaking of practical resources, if you're looking for more expert guidance like this, tools to help you execute, just visit www.pitcot.com. All right, let's shift from that high-level strategy to the nuts and bolts of execution. Point number 5, which blogging platform is right for you?
And this is a foundational decision people rush and then regret.
A big one.
It's maybe the most complex long-term decision you'll make here. As the source warns, moving later is a pain. A platform migration is expensive. It's risky for your SEO. You have to get this right from the start.
So what are the main choices here, the trade-offs?
You've basically got two camps. On one side, you have the simple setups, think Medium or Blogger.
Quick to launch.
Incredibly quick. And they handle all the technical stuff, the security, the updates. The trade-off is you have less control, less customization, and you don't really own the platform.
And on the other side, for businesses that want that full control, it's pretty much WordPress.
It's the dominant player for a reason. With WordPress, you get total ownership, custom design, endless plugins. It can scale with you.
But the control comes with a cost.
It does. You're responsible for the maintenance, the security, the updates. You might need some technical help. For the learner, the advice is to match the platform to your comfort level and your growth plan. If you see big growth ahead, you'll probably want the control WordPress gives you.
Okay, so the platform is chosen. We're writing. Now we hit point 6, which might be the most overlooked part. Your promotion strategy. And here's the statistic we really need to hammer home. Writing the blog is only half the battle.
At most. Promotion is the real engine. It's what makes everything else work. Most people flip the ratio. They spend 90% of their time writing, 10% promoting.
It needs to be the other way around.
Completely. If you spend hours on amazing content but no time marketing it, those posts will, as we said, just sit there and gather digital dust. The world is just too noisy for good content to find its own audience.
So what does active promotion actually look like according to Pitcot?
It means using every channel you have. Sharing it on all your social platforms, but customizing the message for each one.
Right. A post for LinkedIn looks very different from an Instagram reel.
Totally different. It also means pushing it through your email list every single time. And the big one is repurposing.
That's the key to efficiency, isn't it?
It is essential. That one big blog post can become 5 short video clips, 10, quote, graphics for Twitter, an infographic for Pinterest. And don't forget guest posting on bigger sites to pull in a new audience.
It's really about marketing the blog as hard as you market your actual products.
That's the question the source poses. Are you ready to do that? Because that's what it takes. It's not a library. It's an active marketing tool.
Which brings us to the final step, number 7, accountability. How do you measure success? You've done all this work. Now you need the scoreboard.
You absolutely need a scoreboard. You have to define and track your key metrics. The basics are pretty straightforward. Site traffic, views, engagement, so comments and shares, and conversion leads, signups, whatever your goal is.
You need to know if that post actually drove results.
Did that guide get you to page 1 of Google? Did that analysis get you 100 new newsletter subscribers? You have to know.
But the Pipcot view also pushes us to think bigger than just immediate sales, right? The soft metrics can be just as valuable.
They often are in the long run. Success isn't always a transaction today. It's also about building trust, expanding your reach, connecting with your audience.
So that when they are ready to buy,
you're the first one they think of. You have to identify the metrics that matter for your goals, the ones you wrote down in step 3. That's your scoreboard. And if you're not keeping score, you can't improve.
You know, when you lay out all 7 foundations like this, it's clear that a blog is a serious strategic commitment. It's not a whim.
Not at all.
And the conclusion for the material is so powerful. A blog, when you treat it with this kind of planning, it really does become your most powerful digital asset. It builds your authority, pulls in traffic, nurtures that trust.
And it can even fuel sales while you sleep.
That's the dream, isn't it?
That passive growth is the ultimate reward for all this active, dedicated work. The blueprint is clear, though. You have to commit, you have to show up consistently, write, share, and just stay the course.
And when you do that,
your blog transforms from being just another website into a true, reliable growth engine for your entire business.
For more resources that can help you show up and stay the course, visit www.pitcot.com.
And if you loved our show, if you found these insights valuable, please press the like button. It helps us a lot in the recommendation algorithm so other people can find this material too.
And of course, if you haven't yet, please subscribe to our channel and activate that notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Thank you for listening to the Pitcot Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below. Thank you for being there with us.